It's 5 minutes with me.
What is up? Welcome to 5 minutes with Marco. Let's talk today about a tension that I just found I've got to lean into in my ministry, and that's summed up in these three words: prepared but flexible. I don't really have much planned for my small group or teaching time or youth group discussion because I just want to be responsive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. That is lame. My experience is I'll never notice the Spirit's leading with that sort of laziness. But the other extreme is equally unhelpful, being rigid and sticking to what I've prepared when there's a prompting from the Holy Spirit to go elsewhere. The best conversations, some of you have heard me say this before, the best conversations in my small group, the ones where I can be truly responsive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, are when I'm both prepared and flexible. Just before Christmas, a year ago, I was leading my sixth grade guy small group in a discussion about the incarnation. My hope was to remind them that this season was about more than presents and a break from school. Pretty straightforward stuff, right? So I was a little caught off guard when a guy named Chris interrupted whatever brilliance I was in the midst of explaining to say, "How do we even know this is true?" My compassionate and well-honed response was, "What?" Chris said, "I mean, I know the story of baby Jesus and all, and I know the stuff about him being God and Mary being a virgin and how Jesus was God and a man and all that, but I just don't understand how we're so sure about it all." One of the other guys piped in loudly with, "You're not supposed to ask questions like that." So wait a second. These guys are sixth graders. I'm scrambling in my mind at this moment. And if there's one thing I know about sixth grade guys after 42 years of working with them is that they're still concrete thinkers for the most part. It's a very rare sixth grade guy who's already tiptoed far enough into puberty to have his brain start rewiring for abstract thinking, the kind of thinking that often produces doubts about a faith system worked out through years of parental and church input. It's a very rare sixth grader who asks questions like Chris and understands exactly what he's asking. I assumed it was an aberrant blip on the radar based on my understanding of early adolescent development, and I quickly concluded that the more important reality at that point was to affirm Chris for asking the question and remove any judgment from the room. I affirmed him and explained to all the guys how questions like that are great and will become an important part of their growing faith as they move into and through their teen years, and I moved on. 3 months passed. I don't even remember what topic I was prepared for when we got to Chris's questions revisited. I know I had something prepared, and it wasn't about how we know all this is true. All I remember was that we had just started reading a Bible passage when Chris interrupted again. "No one will answer my questions." Me, this time, "Huh?" See, that's the kind of deep and inquisitive questioning you'll get to with lots and lots of experience. Chris unloaded. "I asked my parents and they told me it was great I was asking questions. Then I asked you and you said the same thing. You gave me this book." He pulls out a book that I'd written for young teens. "And it basically said the same thing and it didn't answer a single question for me." He was desperate and it was clearly time to set aside my finely tuned plan for our small group discussion. I said, "Okay, let's do it now. Ask me whatever you want. And I'll try to be as honest as I can. But I need to warn you, Chris, that my answers might not be good enough for you because ultimately you're going to have to choose whether or not you'll have faith. And most of the answers won't completely remove your questions." He started asking questions like, "How do we know the Bible is true? How do we know God is who God says God is? What if we're wrong about all of this? How do we really know there's a heaven?" He wasn't even giving me a chance to respond. He was just firing questions. And the other guy started jumping in. One of my favorites, worded as only a young teen could word it, was, "What if we get to heaven and find out it's the wrong God?" We spent the next 30 or 40 minutes, my co-leader and I, attempting to explain why we believe what we believe. Throughout that time, I continually tried to normalize their experience by affirming the asking and restating the role of faith. It might not have been the best night of the year. No, actually, I think it was. It was probably the best night of the year. And there were two things that were extremely clear to me at the end of the evening. One, we would never have gotten to that good stuff if I hadn't had something prepared. if I'd been winging it, the context wouldn't have been there for the questions to arise. And second, we would never have gotten to that good stuff if I'd stayed true to what I had prepared. Now, most of the time, the prompting from the Holy Spirit comes in less obvious ways. I just gave you a super obvious example for what I think is one of the secret sauces of youth ministry. Be prepared, but be flexible.
The Youth Cartel Podcast Network.